All right, good morning. Labor Day weekend. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14 this morning. So grab a Bible and get to 1 Corinthians 14. We're talking about spiritual gifts. We're in this series called Finding My Place, My Spiritual Gift, My Fit in the Church. And so grab a Bible, 1 Corinthians 14. We do believe in the Holy Spirit at Fellowship Raleigh. Yep. Amen. Don't let the red carpet fool you. Thought it was just a very Baptist church. Don't let the lack of lifting hands fool you. I don't even know. I'm assuming I was on the front row. So, but you know, that's just because, you know, people are Labor Day weekending. You know, this obviously used to be a very charismatic church building. You can tell by the two purple windows, one here, one there. And so, you know, we do believe. I want to tell you a couple quick stories real quick. One is by the founder of Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith. And he tells a story in the 60s of they were having a prayer gathering, a Bible study. And it was about 50 people. Most of them that they knew of were Christians. And it wasn't a church service. It was just sort of a serious Bible study, a prayer gathering. And what happened was, it was Pentecost Sunday. And someone just said, hey, since it's Pentecost Sunday and, you know, it's just a small group of us, you know, if anyone has the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, let's just have an extended time of worship. And if someone would like to speak in tongues. And so anyways, they did it. And a woman there spoke in tongues. And of course, she spoke in a tongue that people did not know. The pastor was roughly familiar with French, and he could tell that it sounded French. So anyways, fast forward, the Bible study is over. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Rewind. So someone that had the spiritual gift of interpretation actually interpreted what the woman said in tongues. And it was encouragement. It was just a blessing and a thanksgiving to the Lord. Anyways, so this happened. So then afterwards, a guy was like, hey, I brought my girlfriend, and she's really going through some great troubles in life. And she wants to meet with the pastor. And so they have a meeting, and the girl says, I do have some issues that I need some counseling on. But before we get to that, can you tell me more about what happened there at the end of the service? And the pastor said, oh, yeah, wasn't that interesting? Sure, what do you want to know? And she said, well, the lady who was speaking fluent French, what was that about? And he said, well, I don't know. I didn't know that it was French. I sort of thought it was because I sort of know French. But okay, that was just, you know, he turned in the Bible to 1 Corinthians 14 and 13 and 12. And he showed her, this is what the Lord says can happen in the church. And that's what was happening. And then the other lady had an interpretation. And she said, it's amazing. The interpretation was exactly correct. She said, I spent 5 years living in Paris. And actually, the woman who spoke in tongues, she spoke aristocratic French. It was perfect French. It was the French of the sort of the higher class. And the pastor said, well, I know for sure she doesn't know French. But what else would we expect from the Lord that she would speak aristocratic French? Anyways, so the girl said, okay, well, I just want to accept the Lord. I just see the power of God, and I just want to give my life to the Lord, and then we can talk about my issues. And so they led this woman to the Lord, and she became a part of their church. And it's just a powerful story of an example of that gift in operation. And what do you think about that? It's just an interesting story. I'll tell you another story. This is in the book Showing the Spirit, which is actually a great book if you want to buy a book on 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 by Don Carson, a professor. He said that one of his seminary colleagues used to go occasionally to the very Pentecostal churches around their seminary and just start reciting John chapter 1 in Greek. And he would do that and pretend he was speaking in tongues. And several people would come and interpret what he was saying, and they would say things that had nothing to do with John chapter 1. And they got a, you know, kind of a chuckle out of it. And it is kind of funny. But you know, listen, think about that. We need to pray for those people that didn't have the right interpretation. We also need to pray for those seminary professors that thought that was funny. But you can just see the potential for confusion and for discouragement, but also the potential for encouragement and for God to really powerfully work in the church through this spiritual gift of tongues. So we're going to talk about these topics here in the next couple of weeks, because that's what 1 Corinthians 14 is about. So let me read it to you. The title of the message this morning is Let's Build One Another Up, and it's coming from verses 1 through 19 of 1 Corinthians 14. So here we go. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. All right, verse 13. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. God's word. Let me quickly pray and we'll study this. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, and we just are eager to see what's here and to uncover these words just a bit more and look into this topic of prophecy and speaking in tongues and what you intend for that, for our church and for our lives individually, and help us be a church that is passionate about building one another up. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we have three points this morning. This is 19 verses, so I like to give an outline so we kind of have a roadmap as to kind of how to get through this passage in a way that makes sense for us. I want to use the language of desire to break this passage up. And so what I mean by that is, let me just show you. In verse 1, Paul, he is talking about that he wants the Corinthians to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So the word desire there in verse 1. And so verses 1 through 4, we'll put those together. And then in verse 5, we see that Paul talks about what his desire is for them. He says, I want you all to speak in tongues. He says, but even more to prophesy. So again, the word desire, I want you. So Paul's desire for them, first, what their desire should be. Second, Paul's desire for them. And then you see in verse 12, and this will be where our third point will start. He says, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, he says, go ahead and take that eagerness and strive toward building the church up. So the three points are these. Number one, let's pray for and pursue gifts and opportunities to build up our church family. Again, here talking in verse one, Paul says, this is what you should desire. You see that? Verse one, it says that. We'll read it. So the point there is, let's pray for and pursue gifts and opportunities to build up our church family. So look at verse 1. In verse 1, you see a threefold command. It says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And so we have not departed from 1 Corinthians 13, which was all about love, he continues in that by saying, pursue it. Pursue love. Desire the spiritual gifts. Earnestly desire. And then he says, especially that you may prophesy. So I want to just click pause for a second. As we get into these points, and I want to pause right there in point one, and I want to make a few observations. We just read the whole passage. Just a few initial observations here about this chapter in this passage. And so I'm going to put these up on the screen. And I'm also going to give you some definitions for speaking in tongues and for prophecy. But first, let me just give you a couple observations. Number one, whatever your experience is with speaking in tongues or prophecy, and whatever your beliefs about it may be, okay, for those gifts operating in our time in the church, whatever your beliefs and experiences are, let's all agree and understand that at one time in church history, God in his perfect wisdom thought it was an awesome idea to give these spiritual gifts to build up the church. Okay? And so we have to at least all acknowledge that and come around that. And so if we have just a total shutdown, discomfort with these spiritual gifts, then you wouldn't have been able to function as a first century Christian. And I just say that just to say, I think we need to be a little more open in our minds and in our hearts sometimes, maybe for some of us, and let God be this big God that he is. And let us realize that we're experiencing him and growing in our knowledge of him as we go. So the second observation I want to make is this, is that, you know, Paul, who for the record also wrote Romans and Galatians, he is in 1 Corinthians, he is not negative about speaking in tongues. He's not even neutral about speaking in tongues. He's positive about it. That's the feel. It's a positive thing. He's only negative about the misuse or the overuse in a way that is a misuse of speaking in tongues. And so that's, I think, a very important consideration for us to see. And the third observation, just sort of big picture, stepping back here, is that we have to consider the context of the Corinthian church. For some reason, they're having a major issue, and their major issue has to do with just two of the spiritual gifts. And so there's a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians about prophecy versus tongues. And that is just interesting because there's a lot more spiritual gifts than those two, but they were having an issue over those. And so I think we need to remember that. And the key difference between those two gifts, and this will unfold more as we go this morning, but the key difference between those two gifts is that one is more self-encouraging, self-edifying, it builds yourself up. The other is more building up of the church, that being prophecy. And so the application for us, because none of us are getting in a time machine or a DeLorean and going to the Corinthian church in the first century, but the application for us is still there that we must be careful to not put self-edifying Christian service above church-edifying Christian service. And sometimes there's a thin line between those two. We must be careful, because that's the core issue in the Corinthian church that transcends the sort of nuanced contextual things. All right, let me give you some definitions here. Definition of speaking in tongues. Because it's going to come up in prophecy as well, all through this chapter. Quickly, definition. Speaking in tongues, here's the definition. Holy Spirit enabled prayer or praise spoken in a language not understood by the speaker. All right? Now, for some of you, you're like, that's a good definition. I grew up around that. That's nice to have a definition for it. For some of you, you're like, man, that sounds crazy. And particularly, maybe if you're a new person to Christianity or an outsider to the church, then you would feel that way. And I would very much understand that. And we want to teach God's word at Fellowship Raleigh and not be crazy. So speaking in tongues is a gift that God has given
And here is a definition for it. Another one, a definition for prophecy. Okay? And see the difference between these two, because this whole chapter is comparing these two. Prophecy is a spontaneous message brought to mind by the Holy Spirit and shared for building up the church. Okay? Prophecy is not preaching. All right? Some people say prophecy is preaching. So that's the modern day sort of continuation of prophecy. And it's not. It's not. There's clearly a ministry, a prophetic ministry that is given to more people than just pastors and preachers in the New Testament. And so it is something different than that, although it certainly is partly preaching, but it is a spontaneous message brought to mind by the Holy Spirit and shared for building up the church. Now, with both of these spiritual gifts, you can see very clearly how, you know, without even having an experience that's bad or confusing in a church, you can just see, wow, there's a lot of potential for that with these gifts. You know, how do you know that someone's message was brought to them by the Holy Spirit? How do you verify that? How do you know they're just not pushing for what they want? You know, how do you know someone's not just speaking Greek in church and just trying to mess with people? There are standards and principles that God gives us in the Word, and really sorting through some of that is the purpose of 1 Corinthians 14 this week and next week. So again, now back into it. So this first point is, let's pray for and pursue gifts and opportunities to build up our church family. That's Paul's heart and burden here. So you saw verse 1, that threefold command to pursue love, earnestly desire gifts, and then he says, especially that you may prophesy. And we just defined prophecy. So you have that definition in your mind now, so we can keep going. So look at verses 2 and 3, and we see here he contrasts prophecy and speaking in tongues by talking first in verse 2 and 3 about sort of the direction of the two. Is it directed toward God or toward the church? You see, he says in verse 2, for the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their, look at it, upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Now, Paul's not negative here on speaking in tongues. It's a real good thing to speak to God. It's a good thing to utter mysteries in your spirit to God. Paul's not saying these are bad things. He's just comparing it to prophesying, and he's just saying practically, prophesying is more helpful for more people. That's all he's saying. And what does he say there? You look at the end of verse 3. He says, for upbuilding, for encouragement, for consolation. These three words are beautiful. Upbuilding means to strengthen, to build up. Encouragement literally means to come alongside someone and sort of call them forward, to give them an exhortation. And consolation means also to come alongside someone and to counsel with them or to comfort them and to speak with them. So the ministry of the word, this ministry of encouragement, that's what prophecy can be. And so it's a real blessing to building up the church. And so we are to seek to build up the church. Now look at verse 4. Verse 4 compares the two by considering who benefits. Verse 4 says, the one who speaks in a tongue, what's it say there? Builds up himself. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. Okay? Again, we should note, it actually says that speaking in tongues is a legitimate way to build yourself up. That's what it says. And he's, again, not being negative about it. He's not saying, and that's wrong. It's always wrong to seek to spiritually build yourself up. He's not saying that. That's why we're all sort of here today. I want to get built up spiritually. You know, that's why we have a quiet time. That's why we do things as Christians. And that's not wrong, per se. Again, that's not wrong. That could be a very valid and useful and maybe a gift that God's given you as a way to build yourself up spiritually that you should maybe be using. But the point Paul's making is he's just saying practically, though, speaking in a tongue builds yourself up. But the benefactor of prophecy is it builds up the church. So again, here's the point of this first point. Let's pray and let's pursue gifts and opportunities to build up our church family. And every time you hear me say our church family, just think of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Think of people, not buildings. Think of your local church, not your cousin who's also a Christian in Des Moines. Think of your church family, where God has called you to live in community and to live out the one another's of the New Testament in community with other believers. So think of that when I say church family. So the application here maybe is, maybe spiritual gifts have been a back burner desire for you in recent seasons in your life. And I would just encourage you to consider God's challenge to you from His word this morning, that we are to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Let's go to our second point, and it's this. Let's prioritize building up the church family ahead of our many other good and noble desires. All right? That's a big point, Matt. That better be coming from the verses. Okay. Listen, verses 5 through 11. Paul assumes that they desire to build up the church. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to the Corinthians, and we're Christians, you know, many of us here today, and we're down with Scripture. And so the assumption is, yeah, you want to build up the church. Like, everyone's okay with that. And we also have other desires in our life. And like in the Corinthians case, you know, that some of them, many of them, it appears, had a desire to speak in tongues, which didn't necessarily directly build up the church, but it was still a way that they wanted to serve. It was a desire for their Christian service. And Paul's saying that desire is okay. And he's saying, I assume you also have the desire to build up the church. He's just saying, let's order those desires. Let's order the priorities. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 5. You see it there. He says, now I want all of you to speak in tongues. That desire is okay. He says, but even more to prophesy. You see? Let's order the desires. Desire both, but prioritize. You say, why? He's like, well, okay, fine. I'll give you more examples. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Again, greater. Both are good. One's greater. Especially in the sort of realm of what builds up the church. So, you know, is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. You can just make a note there. If someone speaks in tongues and it's interpreted, then it basically is prophecy. Right? Yeah. Okay. So again, listen, let's prioritize building up the church family ahead of our many other good and noble desires. So look, Paul gives... Here he gives four examples sort of why we should do this. And we'll go through them. But first, let's answer a question that I think is sort of leaping off the page here from something Paul just said. And it's this: should all people speak in tongues? He said, I want you all to speak in tongues. So what should we make of that? And I'll tell you, my answer to that is no. My answer to that is no, and here's why. Because we learned in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, that it is the Holy Spirit of God who, as He desires, apportions spiritual gifts to the church. And so it's clear that not everyone would have the same spiritual gift. And you say, okay, so, but we are encouraged to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So yes, it would be okay and maybe even appropriate to desire the gift of tongues or another gift, the gift of leadership or the gift of serving or the gift of evangelism. It would be okay to pursue that. But it is not implied that we should all have the same gift. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:7, he says the exact same words. He says, I want you all. Do you see that here in verse 5? I want you all. But in chapter 7, he says, I want you all to be as I am. And he's talking there about his singleness. I want you all to be as I am. Then he says, but each one has his own gift from God. And so we're not all supposed to be single. And we're also not all supposed to speak in tongues, I don't think. And Paul uses the same exact words for these two phrases. Here's the point, though. Paul's concern is not so much to flat out say that he wants all Christians to speak in tongues. It is to demonstrate by this strong rhetorical statement that he is totally favorable towards speaking in tongues for the Corinthians, but he wants them to pursue prophecy more. That's the point he's making. He's like, I'm not coming in here as the anti-speaking in tongues guy. Because if I did, that wouldn't be true to who I am, because later he says I speak in tongues more than all of you. But also because if I did, you'd shut me down and not listen to me. And I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to say that. I'm saying I'm for it. I want you all to be it. I want even those of you who don't want to be doing it to be doing it. I'm so pro speaking in tongues. You're not more pro speaking in tongues than I am. I am pro speaking in tongues. He says, but I want you to pursue prophecy more. You see? I want you to prioritize building up the church family ahead of other good and noble desires. That's what Paul's saying. So he gives these four examples to sort of drive home his point, and I want to show them to you. The first one is himself. Verse 6, now brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? Again, do you see the key word there? Benefit you. Why is that a key word? Because that's his focus. Why is that his focus? Because he's all about building up. The title of the sermon, let's build one another up. The focus of this point, let's prioritize building up the church family. So you see, there are four ways to build up. One of them there is not speaking in tongues without an interpreter for obvious reasons. Example number two, musical instruments, verse 7 and 8. If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? Just giving an example from real life, and he's just saying, let's be practical here. I love these examples too, because one of them, the harp and the flute, it makes you think of worship. And he's saying, how will people be built up in worship if it's musically terrible? And then the other example is battle or the mission of the church. How will the church be mobilized to be on mission for Christ and carry the gospel if the bugle player can't play a note? Think about that. What great army was summoned to battle by someone sort of like, no, right? No. It's totally ineffective for the purpose that is intended, which is building up. Example three, the Corinthians in their community, he says, so with yourselves. You see verse 9, so with yourselves. If with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. Okay, pretty self-evident there. Example four is foreign languages. Verse 10 and 11, he says, there are doubtless many different languages in the world and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker and the speaker a foreigner to me. Think about that. God welcomes the foreigner. God is a God of welcome. The gospel is all about welcome to the family. And Christians should represent the heart of God in that way. And our worship gatherings should represent God's heart of welcome in that way. If you've ever been the only one who doesn't speak the language in a room, you know how unwelcoming that feels. There are no cool points or crowns in heaven for the most fluent Christianese speaker. We are to be welcoming to people. We are to be always asking the question, are people with me? Are they coming along behind me? Are they understanding? Are they taking their next step? It doesn't matter how much I know if as I share it, no one is sort of coming along. And that's true for all of us. And so let's prioritize building up the church family ahead of our many other good and noble desires. And so again, I think here an application would be, you know, maybe you have a general desire to build up the church family. And I think every Christian does. But your other good and noble desires, because they're not general, they're more specific, they're more felt, they're often more self-edifying. They can have the effect of drowning out that sort of more vague general desire of building up the church family such that it's not the top priority any longer. And so maybe asking God to help you reorder these priorities is a good step in prayer from this passage. Third point is coming from verses 12 through 19. It's our last point. Let's redirect and redefine our desires for worship toward building up our church family. Again, the title this morning, Let's Build One Another Up. No surprise here that this continues to be the theme. Let's redirect and redefine our desires for worship toward building up our church family. So, Paul, in verse 12 here, look at it. He says, so with yourselves, look at this, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. All right. So again, just to kind of recap our outline, the first point was about what we should desire. And Paul, there's a command there where he says we should earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that we may prophesy. So the first point was to pray and pursue gifts and opportunities. The second point was Paul sharing, kind of, here's the desire God gave me for you all. So this is God's desire for us through Paul. And that was seen, as he said, to prioritize, as he said, to pursue prophecy. So look, here's my point in saying this. This third point is kind of brilliant. He's like, listen, take your strong desire. Don't throw it away or set it aside. He said, redirect it. He said, redirect it. Verse 12. With yourself, since you guys are already eager for manifestations of the Spirit. Maybe you put there a worship encounter with God. Manifestations of the Spirit. I don't know, just you're eager for a Spirit-filled encounter, a worship encounter with God. You're eager for that. That's good. It says, redirect that, though. You're defining that as this self-edifying thing. He says, redirect that and redefine that as building up the church, because that is what really a manifestation of the Spirit is to look like in a healthy church. That's what he's saying. He says, strive to excel in building up the church. Do you see that? Does that feel familiar or alien to the things that you strive to excel in? The word strive literally means to seek or to search. It's the same word used in Matthew 13 for a merchant seeking to find pearls. It's the same word used in 2 Timothy for Onesiphorus when Paul says he searched earnestly for me until he found me in a dungeon in Ephesus. Or in Rome, actually. The point is to strive, to seek, to search. You know, this striving to excel and building up the church is to be something that we're really intently looking for because it matters to us. I love going to outlet malls. It's kind of a joke in our family because my wife thinks it's really strange that as a guy, I'm always like, let's stop at the outlet mall. I just like to find good deals on things that I may want. My wife also likes finding good deals. She just likes going to thrift stores. Loves it. Texts me, I found this. We all like stuff like that. We like searching for things on the internet. We like Craigslist. We like to look for things. Sometimes we get so set on something. We're searching. We're researching. We're looking for it. And God's word here is challenging us to take that kind of searching and apply that to excelling and building up our brothers and sisters in Christ. He gives examples here, verse 13 through 17. He's talking about the importance of interpretation. Look at these verses. I'll just read them quick. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So, that's sort of the pros and cons of speaking in tongues right there. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. And he's talking here of being when he's in church. Otherwise, If you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? So if you're ever looking for a verse to just prove we should say amen at the end of prayers, this would be it. Amen? There you go. He's like, hey, because if someone can't say amen, then it's not really working, so we should say amen. Verse 17. For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. So here's Paul's big conclusion, verses 18 and 19. He says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So I think we can see really clearly here the importance of redirecting and redefining our desire for worship toward building up our church family. That's the situation. That's the challenge that's being given to the Corinthians and to us, I think, as well. One thing to note from verses 18 and 19 is that Paul is saying, in church, I'd rather speak 5 words to build up than 10,000 words in a tongue. But he's saying that out of church, he speaks in tongues more than all of you. And there's something, I think, to be gained from that in the sense that we should at least see that here the Apostle Paul is talking about the okayness, the beneficialness of praying, of singing, of praising the Lord in tongues. And that is something that if that's a spiritual gift you have, or it's an experience you have had, something for you to pursue, it's something for you to be a good steward of. But it's something that is not as important as building up the church family. And so we're going to continue in this next week and get into the rest of this passage and talk a little bit more of some of our hopes at Fellowship Raleigh. And I want to share with you all some of my own sort of personal experiences in the next week. But let me conclude with this, and I think it's appropriate to close looking to Jesus. Because we should think about this passage in regards to our faith in Christ. And you know, we can't even be part, we're talking about building up the church. We can't even be part of the church unless we put our faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And so the church, we should just understand, the church is not a community service organization where everyone needs to put in our community service hours or else it will fade and die away. That's not the arrangement. Friends, the church is the bride of Christ. It's the people of God. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And out of his great love for his church, Jesus died on the cross for his church, rose from the grave for his church. And our Heavenly Father and the risen Jesus and the Holy Spirit are actively fulfilling the promise that Jesus made to Peter, where he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the weight is not all on our shoulders to build up the church. Jesus is doing it. And in this opportunity that we each have to build up the church, it's not a have to, it's a get to. But because the get to is so good, it's basically a have to. So let's close in prayer. I think we're going to sing one more song together and have communion this morning. If you'll bow with me.